Pirates are struggling at the plate. We know that. And now they go to Seattle. And Seattle is not struggling when it comes to pitching. They've got one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. And the Pirates are heading out west to try to snap out of it against a team that seems to, at this point, know what it's doing on the mound. So it's going to be tough for Derek Shelton and his club. Joining us right now to talk about it for our weekly baseball podcast, it is Kevin Gorman, who covers the Pirates for Trib Live. Kevin, looking at some of these Seattle pitching stats, and they're unbelievable, particularly Kirby, who goes up against Mitch Keller on Friday.
Yeah, that's going to be a marquee matchup, and it'll be interesting to see how Mitch Keller, you know, kind of bounces back from his last start where, you know, Derek Shelton kind of gave him a no vote of confidence, and it backfired on Shelton that he believed in his bullpen perhaps a little bit too much. But, you know, I've talked to Mitch Keller. I'm working on a piece for Sunday about Keller. And, you know, the one thing he and his teammates are talking about that's the difference with Keller is how much he's pitching with confidence and with conviction. And so I think a strong start from Keller could really set the tone for a good series. And, you know, that's the key for the Pirates. We've talked about this, you know, quite a bit, but when they were winning 20 of their first 28 games in the month of April, the Pirates got 18 quality starts. And Mitch Keller was really at the forefront of all of that. And, you know, this is a guy where we're seeing right now looking like a potential all-star, looking like a potential Cy Young candidate, which is, you know, quite a turnaround from where he was 2 years ago when he was demoted to AAA, and even last year when he was sent to the bullpen to work some things out. But, you know, we're seeing the Mitch Keller that the Pirates have long expected. Whether we can see the Pirates get their bats back to where they were when they were, you know, an exciting, fun team to watch when they were getting on base a lot. And that's what really struck me in the Arizona series, Tim, was that the Pirates, not only were they not hitting very much, but they weren't drawing many walks. You know, Nathan Eovaldi only allowed one walk in 9 innings on Tuesday. And that's, to me, the big difference in this team is
better against Kirby. I think his strikeout-to-walk ratio is something like 47-5.
Yeah, that's the Pirates need to find ways to get on base, and it's kind of like if they can get on base and be aggressive on the bases, they can set a tone. It seems like they're doing it in the reverse in the sense that they're trying to set a tone every time they get on base, which isn't often. So teams kind of maybe sense the desperation part of them for them in terms of trying to steal bases, trying to stretch, you know, singles and doubles, doubles into triples, and trying to take home on throws where they've been caught at the plate. So that's all those things that worked so well for the Pirates at the start are now seem to be backfiring on them.
Kevin Gorman with us. Yeah, particularly with Jiwon Bae, right?
3 caught stealings, twice picked off. You know, I thought it was a positive sign for Bae that Derek Shelton put him in as a pinch runner in the 8th inning of yesterday for Carlos Santana. That it was, you know, a day after getting picked off twice. And I don't want to say he got benched because they were facing a lefty and they went with the switch hitting Castro at second base. But I think there's certainly kind of a, you know, a part of the Pirates that like, okay, we have to be careful here. This guy needs to learn some lessons in terms of when he can go, when he can't go, or when he's being too aggressive in taking generous leads, because, you know, he was getting picked off quite a bit. And I remember talking to Bae for a story about stealing bases back in April, and he was kind of almost a little giddy about how, you know, teams were so worried about him stealing bases that they, you know, that they were throwing fastballs to the hitters. The hitters were benefiting from him being on base, and that because they were throwing fastballs, he was able to get a good jump on them. And it seems like teams have kind of realized there's a strategy. It's like, okay, this guy's being a little overly aggressive and maybe a little careless, and he's prone to being picked off.
Baseball writer Kevin Gorman covers the Pirates for Trib Live. He joins us right now on the Breakfast with Ben's podcast, getting set for Pirates in Seattle this weekend out in Washington. All right, Kevin, back to the Mitch Keller topic of conversation, because I do want to dive into that a bit more insofar as I'd like to get your opinion on why Derek Shelton did what he did. I heard you say earlier you thought that maybe he was a little bit too confident in his bullpen given the situation. I agree. Just give me your thoughts a little bit more on why he made the move that he did and if you thought it was the right one, and maybe more to the point, more germane, what do you think Keller thought of that?
Well, I mean, Mitch Keller took it in stride, as you would expect from a guy who's, you know, shown a lot of maturation over the last 9 months to a year in terms of how he handles things. He, one of his teammates said, Mitch, good or bad, takes it all with a grain of salt. He just focuses on the next pitch, the next game. So that's part of what I think has been a secret to his success, is that where he wore a lot of things early in his career, whether, it was wins or losses, you saw if he got into a rough inning could snowball very quickly for Mitch Keller. Just like it did for Tyler Glasnow. And the difference is Keller figured it out here in Pittsburgh. He didn't have to go somewhere else to do that. In terms of Derek Shelton's explanation, it was that, the Keller was pitching out of the stretch with runners on base. And so I think part of that is that they see a guy who was sharp earlier in the game all of a sudden walks a guy and gives up a hit and has runners on base and has to pitch out of the stretch. And isn't as effective in that way. But Mitch Keller did kind of work himself out of a jam there. And I thought he's the type of guy, the performances that he's given the Pirates, especially of late, deserved that eighth inning or the seventh inning to go out there and see what he could do. His pitch count was at 84 when he was pulled. So I thought he had another inning in him. He's pitched over, he's thrown over 100 pitches in a game once this season. And he's done it in his past as well. So I think that he showed enough to get out of that jam that he had earned a seventh inning. But I think that also plays into the whole idea that Derek Shelton, good or bad, believes that they've got the chemistry or whatever makeup have you, that you get to the seventh inning, he's got Stevenson, Holderman, and Bednar ready to go 7, 8, 9. And, that may be a little bit of overconfidence in those guys. I think Holderman is the one who's probably the most dangerous of the three, and he has an immaculate inning on his resume. But, David Bednar, gave up a couple runs the other night. He's able to get hit. What I like about Bednar is he has that mentality to close out a game. Even when he gets in a little bit of trouble, he kind of, recovers and strikes guys out to finish it off. But, Stevenson's the one who's gotten beat up a little bit. And so that's the thing is, it's kind of that you chose Robert Stevenson over Mitch Keller for the seventh inning of that game is the one that really kind of made everybody scratch their heads. And I think it's one of those things where, in the moment you might think, hey, I'm making the right decision. Mitch Keller's in a little bit of trouble. He's not looking quite as sharp. And then in hindsight, when it doesn't work out the way you anticipated, certainly you might be second guessing yourself. I think the good part of it, obviously the bad part is the result. The good part of it is that maybe Derek Shelton will think twice about lifting his starting pitcher, especially a guy who's kind of becoming the anchor of this staff, lifting him so quickly.
I mentioned how good Kirby has been, 5-3 with a .262 for the Seattle Mariners going up against Keller on Friday. That's going to be a great pitching matchup, as we alluded to previously. Saturday, it's a 4 o'clock start, 4:10 to be specific. Contreras and Castillo. He's been very good as well, 3-2 with a whip of 104. The Mariners have three guys in the top 15 in the American League in whip right now. That's how good their pitching is, to complete the point before about what they're doing from the mound. Ronzi Contreras, he's at 3-4 with a .450 right now for the Pirates. He'll be the pitcher on Saturday. What about Sunday? That's sort of up in the air, isn't it, Kev?
Well, I'm looking at the Pirates' probable pitchers, and it looks like they have Contreras for Saturday and Luis Ortiz for Sunday, but that may just be on paper. Vince Velasquez has made the trip with the team, and he told me that he was available to pitch anytime this weekend. Ben Cherington said that Vince Velasquez will make his next start for the Pirates, but deferred to which game that will be for Derek Shelton. So I could very easily see Vince Velasquez come up to the major, being activated from the injured list, and Luis Ortiz being optioned to AAA, even though his last start was a good one. I think the Pirates view Ortiz as their sixth starter, and they're going to try to do everything they can to keep him on his regular rotation so that he's available to them when they need him. Because, I think he's the type of guy that, in most cases would probably be in their starting rotation already at this point, but given that they signed a couple veterans and they have a couple guys that are being effective, that Ortiz is just kind of one injury away. But that's kind of the move I'm looking for to see what happens. So I think it's interesting that they went with, Contreras for Saturday, but it could be Velasquez for Sunday.
Finally, Kev, last moment here, Kevin Gorman, our beat writer who covers the Pirates at Trib Live. They're 0-6-1 in series in May. They got to win a series here, whether it's Seattle, San Francisco. They got to get something under their belt before St. Louis comes to town. They get back into division play when they return to PNC Park.
No doubt. I think it would be beneficial if they could, you know, win at least one of these series, so that that's not something that just, you know, continues. Obviously, May hasn't been good for them. I think the more disturbing thing for me is not that they haven't won the series. It's that they're, I think they have more wins. I don't have the numbers right in front of me right this second, but I think they actually have a better record on the road than they do at PNC Park. And that's a little troubling, is that, you know, you'd think that the Pirates would fare better at home, given that they were, you know, at one point tied for first place this week.
Yeah, it's true, Kevin. 13-11 away, 12-13 in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so I mean, they had a chance to be 13-11 both places, and kind of, you know, and then, you know, lost the last two games of that series to Texas. But that to me is the a disturbing trend, is that they're not playing well at home, or at least as well at home as they are on the road. So perhaps a road trip is welcome for them. But when they return home, they have a 9-game homestand, 9 games in 10 days. And I believe it's the Cardinals and the A's and the Mets. So, and I think the Cardinals are a team, as poorly as they started, are going to figure things out. They were within 5 games or so in the standings of first place. And so that's a team that has too much talent to be at the basement of the NL Central, given that this is not a strong division. So, you know, you're not catching the Cardinals at the right time. You're catching a Cardinals team that is starting to figure things out again. So, I think that's going to be a series that really tells us a lot about the direction of the Pirates season, that homestand. But I think this series is one that, you know, neither one of these teams is as talented as they are, and I think Seattle has a lot of talent. Neither one of these teams is really blowing anybody away. So they're as vulnerable as maybe the Pirates are.
Yeah, Seattle 25-24, Buccos 25-24, San Francisco 24-25. To your point about playing well at home versus away, the Giants are the flip-flop of that. They've been good in San Francisco at 15-11. And like what you were talking about with the Cardinals, they're 22-29. They are starting to play a little bit better. They've won 6 of their last 10. And, you know, Milwaukee, actually atop the NL Central right now, has 15 wins at home. They've been fantastic at home. That's why they've been able to stay in front in the Central, the second most home wins in the National League. Kevin, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch up with you again next week as we do get ready to talk about that Cardinals series. All right?
Hey, thanks for having me, Tim.
All right, Kevin Gorman with us here on the Breakfast with Ben's podcast.